every weeknight, giving you all you need to know about high school and college sports in the 757. It's the 757 at 6 on ESPN Radio 94.1.
Back with you here on this Tuesday, April the 21st, the year 2020. Matt Hatfield here with you. And at this time on the 757 at 6, we have a special guest joining us. He is the voice of William & Mary Athletics dating back to 1982 as the play-by-play broadcaster for men's basketball, football. You follow him on Twitter at JBirdCollie. And if you don't, you need to. It's JBirdCollie. We say hello to our pal Jay Collie here on ESPN Radio 94.1. How is life in the Collie household?
Well, you got me out of power washing the lawn furniture, so I'm forever indebted to you. My wife is out there power washing now, so I really appreciate you being on the show, Matt.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you, and as we'll tell some of your story and then get into some William & Mary topics in terms of the sports here with you, she certainly has been a godsend for you here lately. Great story on tribeathletics.com. If you haven't read it, it's very touching by our good friend Dave Johnson, who for many years wrote for the Daily Press and now working for William & Mary, which is just a huge coup for the tribe there. You bouncing Absolutely. Back with your bout with coronavirus. So tell the folks about just your whole story of survival and perseverance, and was it the scariest time of your life?
Well, Matt, first of all, I appreciate the opportunity, because one of the things when Pete Clawson, the director of sports management at William & Mary, called me and said, hey, would you mind telling your story? My first reaction, well, is, you know, first of all, who cares? Secondly, you know, why? And then I really thought about it, and I thought, well, you know what? People do need to hear this, because whether, you know, it is pervasive at this time or not, you can obviously debate that. What's not debatable is if you get the virus, it is not fun. Let's just put it that way. Probably on March 17th, I think I remember that day, I had the sniffles. The next day I had that, you know, that dry cough that you hear of, and I wrote both of those off to pollen. I had buddies of mine saying, well, don't you get this every year? And I didn't remember necessarily, but the following day, Friday, it hit me like a freight train. Body aches all over, high temperature. Called the primary care physician. He says, come on in. They test for the flu, and it's not the flu. I'm clearly hoping it's the flu. And he tested for the coronavirus, and you know, fast forward 11 days later, I'm in the hospital, and the test finally comes back. Yes, you have coronavirus, and you know, there are some harrowing times, and I've read and listened to some people that have had it. And the only thing I, you know, really don't want to go into, I mean, I don't want you to bore your listeners with a ton of boring details, but the nights are the toughest, because it's the kind of virus that leads you on during the day. You know, your temperature may float down to 99 or 100, and you might get a little bit of sense of smell back or taste or whatever. But about 4 o'clock in the evening, it comes on again. Hard, fast, and furious. My temperature dropped rose a couple of times to 103.5, and just the shivers. I mean, even during that time, you have a boatload of covers on you, and you can't stop shivering. And then the night comes, and you know, I tried not to read any stories online, because you know, you can prove almost anything by doing that. But sure. It was hard to keep away from what was happening. But lo and behold, I came out of it. A lot of prayers. A lot of people thinking about me, and I'm so indebted and so blessed to have that in my life, to have friends and family and William & Mary, my William & Mary family and supporting me up here.
Absolutely. Great to see you're doing better. And I don't want to dwell on the topic either, but it did bring up a couple of follow-up thoughts to me. I mean, did you ever think at any point during this, Jay, I mean, how scary it is that I might not make it or I could die? What entered your thought process during that time?
Well, that's a great question. Oddly enough, and I've been telling people this for years, I do not want to die before I get a chance to call an NCAA men's basketball game. Right now, I think on my tombstone will be something along the lines of longest running broadcaster at one school without ever broadcasting a Division I men's basketball NCAA tournament game.
Oh, goodness.
I know that's lengthy, but they may, you know, put some abbreviations in there. But
right.
So that's one of the things, you know, that went through my mind, among many others. No, Matt, I don't want to, again, over-dramatize it. I've described it to people that have asked me about it. I never felt one step away from dying. I felt two steps away because I never was on a ventilator. They never told me, you know, that, Jay, you know, you're in deep trouble. You know, nothing ever happened like that, even though clearly, you know, having to be in the hospital for 4 days wasn't fun and games. But I never really felt like I was on the cusp of dying.
Well, last one on it here, the listeners out there that are here in Williamsburg or Virginia Beach or listening on the web, Jay, young or old, what would you tell them about this? Because you did live it.
Yeah.
What would you tell them in terms of what they should do or shouldn't do?
Yeah, I would say monitor your symptoms. Don't take it lightly. Get tested if you can. And go through it with a positive attitude. Don't try to press the issue. In other words, I think there'd be some guys out there that would say, oh, gosh, if you can't hold your breath for 10 seconds, you know, you have it. Well, they'd be trying desperately to hold their breath for 10 seconds. Take it real easy. Take it slowly because, very frankly, it's a race of time, in my humble opinion. I'm not a doctor, but if you make it for 14 days, you've probably beaten it. So just focus on those 14 days and know this too shall pass.
We're chatting with Jay Conley, the voice of William & Mary Athletics. He beat the coronavirus, and he's doing well. It's the 757 at 6 on ESPN Radio 94.1. And we'll get to Mike London's football team and other topics here with college athletics here in a sec. But looking at the draft, which is 2 days away, I mean, my goodness, so many great William & Mary players have been drafted over the years and made NFL teams, whether they were drafted or not. You think of names such as Darren Sharper, Derek Cox, Adrian Tracy, B.W. Webb out of Newport News and Warwick High School there. Any chance you see some Tribe guys this year, Jay, on an NFL roster get selected? I mean, Bill Murray's got to be one of those in consideration, right?
That was the name that was going to pop out of my mind.
Okay.
Bill Murray, I think, has an excellent shot to be there. It'll be interesting to Isaiah Laster. He's got a lot of qualities. He's got long arms. He's lengthy. He's fast. He's got a really quick first step. But what concerns me, very frankly, about guys on William & Mary's level getting a shot is they have not been able to show their wares.
I mean,
so, you know, as well as I do, these guys that draft and these people that are putting, you know, dollars on the line, if they don't have to take a chance, they won't. I was in, you know, minor league baseball for years, and I used to marvel at, you know, the drafting process. And scouts would tell me, you know, we don't want to take any risk. We're going to go with the betting favorites, if you will, because if we take a risk and it fails, you know, we're not going to be around long. So it concerns me a little bit that guys on our level have not had a big chance to show their wares. But everybody says that Bill Murray is very similar to a guy you did not mention, Sean Lissamore, that lasted 4 or 5 years in the pros, Dallas and San Diego. I'm not sure Sean was drafted. I should know that. But he certainly got a shot and he had that motor that was always humming on that defensive line, and that's what Bill Murray brings to the table.
No doubt, and I think he was a seventh rounder in 2010. We'll double-check that just to be sure. But you mentioned the baseball thing. I mean, we had on a few weeks back there, Jay, I think it was Chris Finwood, the ODU baseball coach, and talked about how the MLB draft is going from 40 rounds to, I think, as few as 5 or 6 this year. And it really does, this whole global pandemic, it affects so many people beyond the sports world. But these prospects, be it in baseball, be it in football, basketball, you name it, from the schools that may not get the notoriety, and even those that do. I mean, I take even just beyond the Women Marys, the Hamptons, a young man from our area, Ocean Lakes High School, Levante Taylor, he played at Florida State. He didn't get invited to the combine, and he's had to throw together an individual workout, put it out on tape, and get it to people. And he played in the ACC at FSU, so it is a very difficult process for those trying to get notoriety and exposure.
And I'm sure we'll get to Nathan Knight, but that's the first thing I thought of, and I don't think I'm telling any tales. I talked to Coach Dane Fisher today about Nathan's chances, and you know, on the positive side, he's put his best foot forward. He had a great year there. I'm sure they're talking to Nathan. He will pass all the IQ test, if you will. You know, the basketball IQ, and he'll be a great teammate. He'll pass all those tests, but they have not been able to see him, in front of their own eyes, probably most of those scouts, although the Tribe played in front of a lot of scouts this year, I'll say that. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see. On the other end of the stick, you know, on the negative, you're a kind of a pessimistic person. He also didn't get a chance to fail. He didn't get a chance to go against some really good players maybe in some sort of a one-on-one drill and not look good. So it's going to be interesting to see about Nathan, where he's drafted, if he's drafted. And I think you're right. It's going to be a little more of a guessing game for these people that are in charge of the drafts in all the sports this year.
Yeah, I feel so bad for many of the spring athletes, be it on the college level, the high school level. And I was really looking forward to watching Nathan Knight play at the Portsmouth Invitational Tournament. I figured he would have been there. We'd have been last week, and we were hoping to be out there for that. He's the kind of player that an event such as that certainly could have boosted his pro stock and chances of being drafted, you would think. And I tell you what, even if he doesn't get drafted, the way now this G League is really taken off for professional basketball, I was talking to someone the other day, Jay, and that, you know, about 10, 15 years ago, maybe even longer, minor league baseball, minor league hockey was enormous. And now you've seen the basketball, I guess I'll call it the minor league basketball system, has taken off. And it seems suddenly to me, I don't know if you feel the same way or not, but.
I do. And I think it's going to be very interesting, you know, how we come out of this. I mean, you know, sometimes those, these kind of things change society in ways I can't even dream of right now. And let's just say, because of the one and done and because of the transfer rules that I think are inevitable in college basketball, let's just say that G League does become all of a sudden like a minor league baseball system that takes kids out of high school as opposed to going to college. That's going to really change the landscape of college athletics. And, you know, we're doing a lot of guessing right now, but hey, isn't everybody? There are no sports to be played, so we got to, you know, fill up the airways with something. But anyway, it's going to be a very interesting, I think, next 6 months to a year in pro sports and in college sports.
Believe me, it is a daily challenge, but it's a good one, and we're fortunate and blessed to have it. We're talking
and you've come to all the way down to interviewing some guy from Williamsburg with the coronavirus.
No, you're near the top of the list. Trust me, you're not down on the list. We've had some people that are, I would say, creatures that aren't the anyways. We're talking with Jay Colley, the voice of William and Mary. Go ahead.
Let me ask you, Matt, do you think we're going to have a football season, and what are your parameters? I've had some discussions recently. I'll give you my thoughts, but what are your thoughts?
Well, real quickly on that, I just spent the first segment of the show talking about, I heard from a Division I, I won't say who, assistant college basketball coach, that he feels that, he said this 5 years ago, that in 10 years he felt that conferences below the Power Fives would dissolve in 5 to 10 years, and I hope he's wrong, but every reason he's given me, I feel, Bobby Wilder, the former coach at Old Dominion, had a good tweet last week, and I think he's right on about it, Jay, and that he says July 1st will give me the answer in terms of whether we have one or not. I think if we're back to up and running by then, I'm sorry, June 1st, by June 1st, if we're up and running by then we will. If not, I think spring 2021 is the best. But I think doing that, although other people I've talked to about this, Jay, feel it's not an issue, I feel if we go into the spring 2021, that just puts a lot on the NCAA's plate. And we know that they're not always the very best, even though their intentions may be, at making some of these decisions and managing things with the winter sports and the spring sports. It's a very tricky situation.
Well, two things, because I want to go back, if you don't mind, I don't know how much time
we got time,
but I want to go back to your statement about the Power Five and everybody else. Mm-hmm. But getting back to the statement about this football season, somebody told me the other day, and I really thought about it, if the pros play, the colleges will play.
Yeah.
So I don't know exactly what that means, but it made sense to me. If the pros figure it out and maybe cut their attendance in half. Obviously, it's all about the TV money anyway, necessarily. You know, some way to have that social distancing at their games and protect their players. I think the colleges, certainly on the big time level, will play. Whether on the FCS level or below, you know, another story. But I certainly think the Power Five conferences. Now, getting back to that statement about that. Basketball coach telling you that it's dissolving potentially. I've thought about that too, and I'm a optimist. I hope it, like you say, it continues on. It doesn't, but what I could see it going strictly to economic driven conferences. So below the Power Five conferences, you wouldn't have to travel over, let's just say, 150 miles or 200 miles, whatever that number is. No longer would you have flights and such, and maybe, you know, the scholarships would be, you know, cut in half or whatever, you know, devalued or what have you. But I could see that happening in 10 to 15 years because, as I've often said, the Power Five conferences don't want some of the money. They want all the money.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, follow the money.
Good point. I'm sure we'll get you back on again. Jay Colley, the voice of William & Mary, with us here on the 757 at 6 on ESPN Radio 94.1. The one more thing I wanted to bring up to you was Mike London, how much of a genius he looks like now, Jay, because the spring game this year was moved up for the Tribe. I think it was, say, you wouldn't know the exact time frame, 5 weeks earlier than a year ago, and they got to feel pretty good about that, huh?
We had spring ball. It's February 28th. It could have been a doggone snowstorm out at Zabel Stadium, but it wasn't. It was actually a pleasant day, and I've kidded Coach London many times about that factor. Matter of fact, I'm predicting 11-0. It's first, you hear it first here, because we have that incredible advantage of having a spring ball over everybody else.
I mean, you know, and there's a new offensive coordinator coming in for the Tribe, Christian Taylor, former quarterback. He was at University of San Diego as Brennan Marion left to be the wide receivers coach at Hawaii. There's certainly some holes to fill, questions to answer for everybody, not just the Tribe here. But in all seriousness, though, I think it's got to be a plus, doesn't it?
Yeah. It would have been, I mean, you know, disaster is going a little bit too far. But with a new coordinator and breaking in you know, a quarterback that obviously played last year and did really well, but probably to a little bit of a newer system, it could have been real problems if Coach Taylor would have only had three or four weeks, whatever we have in August, to prepare this team offensively. But I think absolutely it's a wonderful call by Coach London, no question.
Well, Jay, I really appreciate the time tonight. So good to hear your voice and that you beat this coronavirus. And the Lord wasn't ready for you. He wanted to make sure you get that chance to call an NCAA basketball tournament game and also do some other great things. And also some honeydews, because the wife has some things for you to do, and now I guess you got to go finish the power washing.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, I'm going to have to go. Although I'm going to tell her this is like an hour program. I have my phone up to the phone.
Or you can just tell her you're going to be like a weekly or nightly guest for us, so then you're going to have to get rid of some other chores she has for you to do.
Matt, always a pleasure.